Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the bulldozer of Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us,
Jesus!
God and babies,
Jesus!
Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of their cowboy, got
you. All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black dude, holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
What's going on? Welcome to another edition of Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. Man, so much fucking going on. I have no idea where to start, where to end, any of that shit. I'm just going to just check shit off my list as I go. Let's start off with some of the shit that I've been up to. Lots of gardening shit. I've been busting my ass outside, and the type of shit that's going to come out of that, it's going to be beautiful. My yard is going to be insane. I just keep adding to it, and, you know, everything I do extreme. So I put a lot of work into shit, and the difference in what my yard looks like from, like, a year ago, let alone 2 years ago. Two years ago was real fucked up. But even, like, last year I set it off pretty nice. What I've done between last year and this year is still a huge step up. So, you know, I mean, just working away at that. I got three new ducks. You know, I had Darkwing had passed away recently. Yeah, I believe I covered that on the show. But, you know, I wanted to get more ducks, but initially I was going to get two. I have Daffy still left. He's the last of my original crew. But, you know, mixing male ducks with chickens or anything else is pretty dangerous. And unfortunately, years ago, I learned that the hard way. It was probably a good year or two now, actually. The one tried to mate with one of the chickens. The chicken was broody, and the chicken didn't leave the area that the ducks were in. When they're broody, they kind of commit to, like, where they're going to lay an egg. You know what I mean? So they just won't leave no matter who, like, nudges them or comes at them. A lot of times, you know, chickens will fall victim to predators that way because they're so dedicated to that nest or what they feel is a nest, because half the time with these broody girls, they just stay in the one spot they feel like it's their nest. There's no eggs going on, and, you know, in my pen, there's no roosters, so even if there is an egg, there's no, nothing's going to come of it, and, you know, we try to take them as fast as possible so they don't get that way. But I got these two Bantam Cochins. It's a certain breed of chicken, and for whatever reason, they're really, really broody, and the one still is. I'm constantly trying to break her of her broodiness. You can lock them in a dog crate for like a week or so. Sometimes they'll break out of that. So that's the one that I have left. But the other one that I had, she decided to get broody on the duck side of things during duck mating season, and that didn't end well. I guess the way the ducks are built, it's like the dick's like a corkscrew or some kind of shit, and it'll fuck another animal up, so it usually kills them. So that was what happened back then or whatever. But so moral of the story, you know, going forward, I would more lean towards getting female ducks, so that way that's not even a risk in my pen. You know, I've made, you know, different provisions and, you know, took precautions and tried to, you know, do different things to avoid that from happening again. But, you know, I mean, I would like to eliminate that risk completely, which is, you know, why I went with girls. I looked around a bunch. You know, I really wanted to rescue birds. I wanted, like, it's so hard. It's crazy because working where I work, you see people always trying to get rid of animals, constantly. And then, you know, then when you're looking for a certain thing like ducks and stuff, it seems like the only thing I could find is, like, you're going to find some males out there. More so with the chickens, you're going to find a lot more roosters that need homes, more so than male ducks. It's hard to find. So you find a lot of farms that have babies, and obviously Tractor Supply always has babies and stuff, but I don't feel like doing all the heat lamp and all of that bullshit. And, you know, because then I still got to wait until they're full grown to even acclimate them into my pen. Like, I don't have that type of fucking time in my life. So I just preferred to get, like, adult girls, you know. So I ended up finding a place out in Marlton, and we went out there because I also found that they had multiple breeds, which is great because, you know, then you get a variety to select from. I got a Welsh Harlequin, a Cayuga, and a Khaki Campbell. I picked those out of the crew. When I went there, I noticed right off the bat that these were really, really fearful of people. They had a flock of probably 20, 30 birds in it. And as soon as you went, like, near the pen, it was like a big open kind of horse pen type thing. As soon as you went towards it, they all ran in the other direction. It was like a cloud of ducks just ran in the other direction. You know, you could tell they were really scared of people. And the guy was, like, real farmer-based, you know. He's grabbing them by the feet and fucking wings and, you know, just not compassionate, you know what I mean? That's kind of like what you deal with when you deal with any kind of farmers. You're not going to get like that, oh, you know, hugging the birds and shit like this. You know, that's how we operate, because it's, to us, it's family, you know, it's our animals, our family. You know, that's just, you know, it's a huge leap, and now I got to get these girls acclimated to human contact, and they're really, really scared of people now. So a lot of handling and everything, and I think they'll be fine. We have them isolated from the other birds in there for now. You know, got to get them dewormed and, you know, get everything up to speed so we're not, you know, bringing in any new dangerous stuff or anything. So that's pretty much that. I'm really excited to have them. And like I said, my other ducks, I mean, Dappy's got to be at least 12. And Darkwing passed it at 12, you know, at least 12, because he was an adult when we got him 11 years ago. So, you know, I mean, our birds are getting good long lives, especially our ducks. Our ducks have really thrived very well with us. So I'm very happy to have these girls. I have my first fucking race since 2019 this coming Saturday. So I've been training my motherfucking ass off. I, you know, like, the gym shit, little bit of running. I'm telling you, my biggest fucking fear, this whole fucking thing, is the running. If my lungs are going to handle it, if my legs are going to handle it, if any of that shit. But it is what it is. I got 9-plus miles and 60-plus obstacles ahead of me on Saturday for the Bone Frog Trident. And that's, you know, it's kind of like the two races combined in one, because they have like a sprint version and a challenge version. And the sprint's about 3 miles and the challenge is about 6 miles. And the Golden Trident is doing them both together. And that's what I'm doing. Yeah, I don't do shit at half speed. So, I mean, whether I'm cold 3 years on this shit or not, I'm going all the fuck in. So it is what it is, man. I got to wake up at like fucking 3 a.m. I got to leave my house at like 5 to get there, you know, so that way I'm there like 7:30. It's up in Stanhope, New Jersey. And, yeah, it's a beautiful area, like mountainous. It's like North Jersey, but it's like the mountainous, pretty area in North Jersey, not like fucking crackheads and bums and shit. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Real nervous at the same time, because again, like, once I started rolling on those races, I did those races for like, what was it, 14? I don't know, fucking 5 years, 6 years, something like that. You know, I did them every year, and I was getting better and better and better and building myself up, you know, and I started to get, you know, some pretty decent little times. I mean, not, you know, I'm not a podium kind of guy. I'm not a winning the race kind of guy. And I started doing like real serious athletic shit in my 30s when I quit drinking. That's when my athleticism actually took shape. You know what I mean? Is when I gave up the bad shit and I adopted that as like, you know, more of like what I was going to push myself towards. So, you know, I'll never be like a, you know, conquering the fucking world athletically, but you know, I'm 44 years old and watch me go, motherfucker. I'm a bad 44 year old motherfucker. I'll take my efforts over a lot of other people that I see at my age. So that's what I'm bringing to the fucking field on Saturday, and I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, that's that. I think that's the most of what's going on with me. You know, work is work, you know, always there's going to be ups and downs and everything else. You know, I've been doing this 21 years, so shit's not new to me. But yeah, just keep pushing on all fronts. And, I'm trying to think of what else. I know I'm missing some shit, And I mean, I obviously didn't even get rolling, but I'm just trying to knock like the what I've been up to type shit off, and then we'll get into all sorts of shit talk. Fuck it, we'll just start up on this shit. So my man Jeff Sand over there, he hit me up with a lot of topics and stuff. You know, we talk a lot back and forth about all these shitheads in the wrestling business, and so a lot of times, you know, we could just go back to our conversations and stuff. I've done that same thing with Shaheen. Is where we'd be back and forth about this topic and that topic. So then when it comes down to, like, showtime, like, yo, what the fuck have we been talking about? And we go back and, you know, and that's a lot of times where I'll get my topics all loaded up from. Let's just start with this list he compiled here. Dirty Ronald McDonald controversy. So this guy, I had called him out for being a shithead a while ago just based off of his wrestling ability. And he was immediately arguing with me on the internet, which to me just confirms my opinion that you're a shithead. Because, again, like if you can't brush off negative criticism or, you know, deal with a comment that may not be in your favor, you're mentally soft, you know what I mean? As an entertainer, you know, as a human, it is what it is. And people just can't take that type of shit. I'm not going to take you coming at me about some shit. I'm definitely coming back at you. But again, I'm not an entertainer. You know what I mean? I'm not in the field where I'm presenting myself to the world saying, this is my product. You know what I mean? Like I'm doing me and it is what it is. And hey man, like I said, you want to criticize me is cool. I'm definitely coming back like twice as hard. But I'm just saying, as far as an entertainer goes, I really feel that you need a thicker skin, and you have to be able to block the noise out. You got to be able to present what you're presenting and not stopping to acknowledge every motherfucker that says something negative about you. Like, you can't imagine that, like, you know, your Michael Jordans and your shit like that. Like, you can use that shit for motivation, but if you really stop to fucking respond to everybody who said, you suck, and like, no, actually, I don't. Fuck yourself. You know, how about we should take this shit outside? Really, you're going to be out there all fucking day, because if everybody who says that shit gets under your skin that heavy, you ain't coming back inside. You're going to be outside fighting motherfuckers all night. You know what I mean? Like, so to me, like, I see that shit as a weakness. You know what I mean? But my whole thing that I criticized him on was the spot that he did. I forget who he was fighting, but he took a bump off this little, like, roof. But the thing was, is the roof had, like, a step up before you had to go off of it. So to get to the ledge, you were standing on, like, you know, like a flat roof has sometimes that has, like, that, it drops down a little bit so it doesn't just, like, go straight off the edge. You know, it gives you a little bit of, like, a curb before you, you know, fall off the goddamn roof. But this guy took, like, a punch or something and then stepped up on that curb to fall off the roof. And I was like, what kind of stupid-ass shit is this? Because, you know, when you do, like, a fall-off-the-roof spot, you know, I mean, Drake Younger did the thing. He took the punch off brain damage. One of the coolest finishes of TOD is because they made that where you had to retrieve the trophy and get down and all this other shit. And so him and Damage were up there. Drake grabs the trophy. Damage punches him in the face, and he falls off the side of the truck holding the trophy. Doesn't let go of it and goes through the fucking table. It's crazy. You know what I mean? But if he had to step up on something to go off of it, it would have looked stupid as fuck. And that's what I call that for, like, he had no sense of what the fuck he was doing. Just looked terrible. You know, you can't put effort into your own plunder. You know what I mean? Like, if it doesn't look like it happened because of what your opponent did, then to me, you're failing. You're not conveying a fight anymore. You're conveying cooperation, and that's a bad look. I don't give a fuck who you are. I don't give a fuck what you say. Oh, you're not a wrestler. Go fuck yourself. Fuck your mother. You know what I mean? I don't give a fuck. I'll tell you if it looks like shit, because I've seen it done good. That's why, you know, it doesn't matter whether I did it or whether I don't want to fucking do it. The last fucking thing I want to even be done is be associated with wrestling in any way, shape, or form. Like, if I was identified as that wrestling fan, J-Cat, I'd fucking hate it. You know what I mean? That's not me. You know, I'm not the fan I was once. I'm not into the whole culture or any part of it. I don't envy motherfuckers physically this way. Like I said before, I'm a pretty bad motherfucker for 44. There's a good amount of wrestlers that are like half my age that I'd work fucking circles around athletically. So, again, not a wrestler athletically. You know what I mean? It is what it is. So let's just knock that off before, you know, we get back into the, well, I don't know how you could say that if you're not a wrestler. That's why. Because I've seen, like, you know, if you see somebody do a perfect superplex, you know what I mean? And then the next time you see it, the guy almost falls off the top rope, grabs him last minute, and the guy takes, like, a flip bump over the top of the other guy to try to make it work and look good. Well, there's clearly a difference between those two things. You know what I mean? That's people have to get through that through their fucking head when they can't handle criticism. That I've seen it done by wrestlers that were better. And sometimes it's them. You know, like if you do it one time and it looks great, and then the next time you do it, it doesn't look great. I'm not crazy for saying it didn't look great this time. That's just facts. Again, thicker skin. So anyway, this jerk off was arguing with me or whatever. So this guy surfaces again, and I started seeing him getting a lot of bookings. He was booked in King of the Deathmatch. He was booked at ICW, and all this. All of a sudden, he came out, and I don't know what the fuck possessed him to do this, but he decided to out GCW, but doing so, he was outing himself also and saying that he produced fake COVID tests, fake negative COVID tests for GCW during the early goings of the pandemic. Like, every part of that's illegal. And, you know, many a times, just like drugs or shit like that, you're taking bigger charges if you're the supplier of that. You know what I mean? Like, you can't manufacture fake tests and get a lesser charge than the one you sold it to. Even if he has a whole different set of repercussions that comes his way because, you know, he was running shows in a certain state and he used your fake test in order to do this. I think your shit's going to land on a higher federal level manufacturing fake results. You know what I mean? That's just my view. I'm no lawyer or anything, but, you know, he's like going on and on about this, but then he's saying like, oh, Joey Janela sucks and like all of this other dumb shit where like, you know, first off, like, you're putting this real serious accusation on the table that should burn you alive. But also, like, then you're throwing, like, silly-ass shit like Joey's not good and this, and it's like, bro, like, you're not, you don't have it like that. That's crazy for you to be. And then he got into paydays and how, all, you know, GCW's bringing in people like Jeff Jarrett, and then they're paying their guys X amount of money, but, like, he's not even cool enough with these guys to know what they're getting paid. Because as soon as he did that, all the fucking locker room came out of the woodwork and was like, nah, dude, I get paid more than that. I don't know what you're talking about. Nah, I get paid more than that. Like, dude, you don't, that's not, so he didn't, he was trying to stand up on behalf of motherfuckers who weren't even down with him like that. He was just trying to make a lot of noise. But like I said, from the very, very start, dude's a jerk off. So, I mean, that's just considered a source. But yeah, so then, what else did he say about the payday? And then a lot of wrestlers were coming out also saying, no, there's no fake COVID test. More than anything, the defense was that they had like a Facebook group or something, like, you know, Messenger group or whatever, and they would have to message all of their shit, their COVID tests, their negative COVID tests to this group in order to participate in the show. So when they, you know, Brett would go down the list in this group, he would go like, okay, this guy's good, this guy's good, this guy's good, this guy's good. You know what I mean? Like, he could just go down and see negative test, negative test, negative test. But I don't think that's an accurate, like, stance. That's not like an accurate defense, because the tests still could have been false tests that were being then, you know what I mean? Like, if you were using that as proof, but the proof you were using was fake, that doesn't mean that fake proof wasn't used. So I don't know. I mean, the whole shit doesn't jibe to me, because, again, his side of things would have been more illegal than Brett's side of things. So you could say Brett's a shithead for running fucking shows during COVID with guys who were positive, but, like, you were helping him do it more than anybody on the fucking planet if what you're saying is true. So, like, it's fucking crazy. Then Ian Rotten takes this fucking, which, oh, boy, is this fun, because we'll talk more about Ian later and his high moral stances on things. So he took this stance where, like, I'm not going to have anybody at King of the Death match that puts people's lives at risk. So I'm taking him off the show. And Danny D'Amato said, no, I'm taking him off my show. And we're not doing that with this guy. And it's like, cool, but like, it's you know, you guys, just, for starters, didn't want a rat in the locker room. Because he ran back with shit that he knew or said he knew, and told the fucking world about it, and you didn't want that guy that might later on expose you. And I get it. You know, I get that to a certain extent. But Ian Rotten trying to pitch that he wouldn't fucking use a guy who puts other people's lives at risk. Like, bro, you're Ian fucking Rotten. You've been accused of paying motherfuckers in pills. I mean, let's just stop. Cut all of that stupid shit out. Like, it's bizarre to be Ian Rotten and be saying some of the shit that Ian Rotten says. And again, we'll talk about Homeboy later because this shit is Ian, you know what I mean? GCW, big announcement of return of a tag team. That was the Mexican cats, Miedo Extremo. I don't remember motherfuckers' names like this. I have a hard enough time remembering motherfuckers' names that like start working at my job and shit. So, like Mexican deathmatch wrestlers, I'm gonna have a hard time with all of that. Ciclope, I think is the other guy. Miedo Extremo. I might even have him dead on. I don't fucking know. But anyway, they're coming back. So there's that. MJF's promo. Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's a shoot, work, whatever. Obviously, there's probably little pieces of both in there. But, you know, the thing is like, he's right about a lot of this shit. Tony Khan is absolutely one of the biggest fucking marks I've ever seen that have run a company. He can't keep from jumping up and down and acting like, you know, a kid who just got brought to WrestleMania by his parents. I mean, that's what, but you know, it's like this dude has that type of money to just like, you know, fantasy book, but with real people. Like, he just gets to just put on dream cards and shit and just be like, oh, I loved when Ring of Honor happened. Let me go buy that. And then just, I'll get Samoa Joe back. Because everyone loves Samoa Joe, so I'll just go get him and shit. And, like, this, it's like he's just playing, you know? And it's really blatant that he's doing that. So, obviously, there's a lot of truth to that. But in the same token, he's such a mark for this shit that he would be so fucking enamored with, like, could just be the target of a pipe bomb that goes viral, you know, a pipe bomb promo, and that goes viral, and it becomes as big, the AEW version of CM Punk's pipe bomb, and he could be the target, you know what I mean? Like, he would be down with that. That's the type of fucking mark he is he just wants to be involved. He just wants to be in the mix and all of that shit. So I wouldn't doubt that shit is complete work, but I don't know. I mean, he said a lot of true shit. MJF is very, very talented. And, I mean, that's, he's going to be able to fucking work wherever he wants. You know, that doesn't say you should burn a bridge with one of the two major fucking promotions in the United States. So I don't know. We're going to find out. Cause I don't know if he gets mad at like who's getting paid what, and then he goes to the WWE, suddenly going to be in his glory, you know? I mean, he could work indies, he could tour the fucking, you know, the globe, you know, hitting all sorts of places overseas and, you know, Japan and Europe and all that shit. But, like, that's, you know, it is what it is. I mean, do you want TV exposure? Do you want to be on one of the big U.S. companies? Then, obviously, you got your pick of two. And I don't think you're going to go to a more wrestler-friendly company if you're going to WWE over AEW, because Vince ain't a mark. Vince isn't, like, in love with you. And, you know, Tony Khan might be. So, people blaming Biden for gas. Yeah, I mean, they're just dumb. That's what that is, though. You know, it just, This fucking undying support for the orange guy that's been gone a while, and they just can't get past it. You know, so many times, like, you get into conversations with these motherfuckers, and it's like, they nothing has to do with politics, and they just find a way to weave that in. It's like, you know, you call people sheep, but then you can't even conduct a normal life without making it about that shit that you're on. That shit's way too cultish. That shit's way too, you know, brainwashed, one-track minded. Like, you just gotta, like, keep the main directive in mind. Like, something fucking wrong. Y'all can't live fucking life. You know? Like, if you were doing anything, it's gonna come back to, well, you know, it'd be a lot better if it wasn't for Biden. And it's like, bro, I don't know how you live that life. It's not for me. I didn't hear anything about this, but he wrote a Beter getting into a little scuffle at Hall of Fame with John Wayne Murdoch. Let me just go back to the Hall of Fame thing. So I watched the GCW or Deathmatch Hall of Fame, whatever you want to call it. I'm trying to remember the lineup. So you had Pondo putting in J.C. Bailey. You know, that was good. You know, he had plenty of time with J.C. And you know, was very close to him. So, I mean, it was a great person to be inducting JC, and I think he did a good job. You know, he leaned pretty heavy on the Ian shit, on the Bash and Ian shit. And to me, I don't think that's the fucking time and place for that, to be honest with you. I think it's weird to start, like, I'm not going to say IWA Mid-South, and I'm not going to say Ian Rotten, because I hate him so much that I have to make this part of this fucking this Hall of Fame speech of a deceased, you know, friend and wrestler, you know, fellow wrestler of his. To me, it's not the time and place for that shit. You know, JC most likely would still be working for Ian. You know, I mean, maybe not. He wouldn't be working for Ian like soon because all of his shows are canceled. But, you know, I mean, I don't know that taking that hard stance against, oh, I gotta fucking fuck this guy, piece of shit. Okay, but what does that really, you know, why does that have a place on this? And I mean, look, if we're really gonna go down the path of like, oh, well, you know, he gave JC pills or whatever, shit like that, you can't blame somebody's addiction on that. You could say that he didn't help. But who did? You know, do you think like a Juggalo show was a help to him for an addict to be in that environment? Do you think, you know, being at the fucking ECW arena with all those guys out back, many of which are dead now, do you think that was a good environment for him? You know, again, you know, you could blame one guy because, like, you don't like the guy now and shit, but up until the day you stopped working for him, he was still another wrestling promoter. He was still another, you know, and this isn't me trying to defend Ian Rotten in any way, shape, or form, because this isn't going to be an Ian-friendly show. But I don't know that I'm on board with, you know, I can tell you for sure I'm not on board with blaming Ian Rotten for JC's death. And if that's what he's doing there, I don't know. That's the only way that I could say, well, maybe in your mind it belonged in the speech, is to, you know, make sure you threw shade at Ian Rotten. But I think it should just be all about J.C. Bailey and the positives of it. So I thought it was, you know, he told good stories and all that stuff. That side, that just little extra additive to it took a little bit away from me. It took the attention in a different direction that it didn't need to go. It needed to stay about JC and only JC. And you could have breezed right through IWA Mid-South. Ian Rotten said nothing good or bad about the company and moved forward. And everybody kind of knows how you feel anyway. But again, it was your time, your speech, your boy. So, you know, it is what it is. So then I think, was Toby up next? So Toby Klein, I think, was up next, and Toby Klein should have been the main event on this, and for multiple reasons. I'll tell you, Toby Klein way, way outlived, and I mean that in a figurative manner, and not in a, you know, living on the planet sense, but way. His career was way bigger, way more lengthy, way more matches packed in than I think anybody in that fucking Hall of Fame. And so I think as a storied career that way, and a guy who did wrestle all styles, and a guy who continued to, you know, he did death matches, he did tag team death matches, he became a guy who was well known for being just Mr. Insanity, but he also became a guy who was well known for being one half of the Tough Crazy Bastards, became a guy who was known for a huge part of Cult Fiction, a founding member of Cult Fiction. I mean, he did a lot of things. And when you wrap his story completely, he did the biggest thing when you look at this group of people and you look at the deathmatch scene as a whole that I think you should want to put on a pedestal. And that's the thing, that he got sober. He survived addiction. He went down the same bad path that so many other guys, including JC, went down and didn't make it. And he made it. Not only did he make it, he turned himself into a drug and alcohol counselor and still does amazing work out there helping people. And he reaches out to people in the wrestling business all the time when he sees that they're going through something. He'll talk to somebody who knows him and say, hey, you know, if he ever needs the help, here's my number. You know, like that. Toby really does. And, you know, I talked to Toby my last night drinking. And, you know, going on July will be 9 years sober off alcohol. And when I hit my final rock bottom, I guess you'd call it, where I just decided this has to end, and I want out, and my mind was made up, you know, and I quit smoking cigarettes, real, like, blunt, bam, done, shit like that, but, you know, my mind was made up, but definitely the person that I talked to my last night drinking, you know, about fixing things and about getting my life back right was Toby Klein and his wife, Nicole. And, you know, he's always been a friend to me. He's visited a few times, you know, since, you know, at the boardwalk here and there, you know, just great people, you know. So, I mean, I just get random texts from him all the time. If there's any kind of fucking weather coming my way, this guy's half a fucking weatherman, and he'll know about storms that are coming at me before I do. And he'll be like, you all right over there, brother? And I'm like, yeah, why? What the fuck? Sky's blue. And he's like, oh, I got something coming in that way. I'll look at the weather. And he's like, heavy rain, definitely, starting at 9 p.m. I'm like, Toby, Jesus Christ. He's got his eye on that shit. But yeah, fantastic fucking guy. And when it comes down to it, that's the example you want to set in wrestling. That's the example you want to set at the top of your fucking, you headline with that story. You start off with the tragic story of J.C. Bailey getting the recognition he deserves after his death, and then you finish with the guy who triumphed, the guy who was triumphant in his recovery. And, you know, that would be my go. Now, I know, you know, Dewey via Nick Gage has a bigger East Coast, New Jersey name than a Toby Klein. I know that the Wife Beater has a more you know, crazed, hyped fan base around this jersey, you know, because this is the old CCW crowd transitioned into GCW fans, plus a bunch of new ones and, you know, all this other stuff. But GCW filled that void that CCW dropped the ball on. I mean, that's been a consistent thread that we've talked about. So I know Wife Beater has such an insane legend in his name. And, you know, I watched so much of that live and, you know, huge fan. But when you compare the careers, it doesn't even come remotely close to what Toby Klein has accomplished. So, again, I think that the lineup was ridiculous, the way that it was set up. But I understand why. I will say, you know, again, putting a manager in front of a guy like Toby Klein is fucking ridiculous. And closing out with the Wife Beater, who could barely string fucking sentences together. He didn't have a story. He didn't have fucking people to thank. He couldn't fucking just copy and paste the shit that Dewey said, because half of that shit would have applied just fine to him. He was fucking just gone. Like, there was no brain activity left there, I don't think. his face is like beet red. I don't know if this guy works in the sun or if he just drinks like a fish or what. He just looked like, you know, one of those old fucking Irish guys that just stay at the bar until their fucking liver fails. You know, he just had like a fucking really red fucking face. He just looked crazy to me. You know, and Dewey is a manager, and that's great. I mean, again, in the scene, it makes all the sense in the world. Obviously, Wife Beater makes all the sense in the world to, you know, to be there and to be part of that Hall of Fame. But yeah, like Payne, like that was his tag team partner. You know, I mean, you know, Zandig was such a big part of everything. Like, I mean, there was just so much that, like, I could give his fucking, his acceptance speech and do a better job than he did. And again, I that probably has a lot to do with the fact that I didn't take any of the fucking head trauma that he did. But in the same token, you know, definitely not the guy you want to headline with. You know, because not only has Toby accomplished that much more, that what he was going to bring to the table and to that mic when you handed it to him was fucking zero. So when he showed up and you guys went over, so what do you guys got lined up for your speech? And he went, I don't know. Then you should have went, all right, man, you're going up second. You know what I mean? Or we'll squeeze you in right after Dewey. And maybe we'll do like a joint thing where Dewey could speak for both of you, you know, like something. But it's, you know, it's crazy. And out there with Dewey was a Nick Gage who looks terrible. Absolutely fucking terrible. Nick Gage, again, looks like he's fucking dying. I guess they lightened his work schedule or whatever. But in the same token, if his whole plan, and I said this before, if his whole plan is to just work less and stay around Brett Lauderdale and get no professional help, then he's dead. He's as good as fucking dead. Because now he's fat and he's clearly not clean. Because you see him in pictures looking like fucking Weekend at Bernie's lost his fucking glasses. And like, he's just fucking hanging there. I, you know, my puppets on their fucking stands on my shelf look like they have more life than Nick Gage has in photo ops. You know, these motherfuckers look like they're ready to go. That motherfucker looks like he's ready to die. You know what I mean? Nothing looks good about what he's doing. So it's a shame, man. I'm always gonna root for the guy to make a comeback, but I just mentally, I don't think he's got it. I don't think he's got it in him. He looks insanely tired of life. And it's a shame. You know, he was one of my absolute favorite wrestlers, and I'm looking at a guy that might as well be dead at this point. You know, if he's not gonna get better, the life he's living is fucking torture. And that's, you know, again, the harsh reality no one wants to hear, but you know, that cycle of addiction is fucking brutal. It's like strapping yourself to a tire on a bus or something, or a fucking, you know, big wheel truck and shit. Yeah, you're good for three quarters at a time, but you're going to keep getting hit with that fucking going up under the wheel, starting to feel better, under the wheel again, starting to feel better, under the wheel again. You know what I mean? A little disoriented, spinning around, under the wheel again. You know, like, it's just, it's a never-ending fucking consistent torture and trauma over and over and over. And you know, the people around you wanting better but not knowing how to fix it, and them being drugged through it. And you have your own mental struggles of hurting them over and over and then drifting back into the world where it doesn't matter because it's all about that substance. It's a fucking terrible life to live. It really is. And, you know, I hope that he's able to get out of it one day, but to me, I think you're delusional in thinking that he will at this point. Because he's proven time and time again, this guy spent fucking, you know, what, 5 years in prison clean. He came out looking like $1 million. He was, you know, prison big and shit. And he came out, fucking shot out of a cannon, hung around the same fucking shitheads. And by the time the Nick Gage Invitational rolled around, he was back in for violating. And all people could say was fuck the police, like it's their fucking fault. You're clowns. I mean, this is why I don't respect the fucking wrestling business at all, because you're a bunch of fucking clowns. You support garbage and fucking garbage people. Frankie Picard has as many fucking children as Nick Cannon. Anyone want to draw a couple lines of differences between their fucking bank accounts and ability to take care of the motherfucking kids? Or he's going to keep pretending like Frankie's a good guy. Fuck a Frankie. You know what I mean? I know that shit came out of nowhere, but it just happens with me and Frankie. Like, something about that dude, his existence bothers me, like, a lot. Because, you know, I love my kids so much. I can't imagine, you know, just completely bailing on them the way that this dude does. You know what I mean? You can't support 8 fucking kids with fucking indie wrestling and celebrity boxing. You better get fucking 2 real jobs, motherfucker. Fuck, you ain't got time for hobbies with 8 fucking kids. You fucking kidding me? Your hobbies? Oh, you get to go to Comic-Con? You're going to dress up as Spider-Man with a gut bigger than fucking 3 of your kids combined? Are you fucking crazy? Yeah, that dude, this is what I'm saying. Like, y'all just fucking keep supporting these dickheads and allowing fucking these people to keep filling their own little personal dreams. You know, like, the shindies as a whole is 90% wrestlers who should not be in fucking wrestling. Out of shape motherfuckers, people that just, their look is overall garbage, their work is garbage, their work ethic is garbage, their body looks like shit. They don't have any kind of look. They have somebody else ripped off gimmick that they saw on TV, and they're just going to try to get it over with these fucking 100 people in a fucking high school gym somewhere. Get the fuck out of here. People have said it before, but yeah, get back on the other side of the guardrail, because, like, y'all are just fans, and somebody's giving you a venue to be a fucking wrestler, but when it comes down to, like, could you go in there and wrestle against, like, AJ Styles, or, you know, and yeah, they could probably carry you to something, but do you think it would be a good match? You think it would wind up on their best of if you wound up in the ring with a dynamite fucking wrestler, with a top-level wrestler? If you looked at these top wrestlers and you said, if it was me and them, oh yeah, no, that would make your day. But I mean, would it fucking pop the crowd to the point where they would talk about that match? Or could you think of like 100 other people that they'd rather see that guy wrestle or girl wrestle? Find something in your fucking repertoire that's impressive. If you can't find shit that's in your fucking repertoire that's impressive, moves, promos, fucking presence, look, fucking something. If no part of what, break every single part of your shit down. If none of that shit is impressive, you shouldn't be fucking wrestling, because I don't want to fucking see it. I don't want to fucking see it at all. And if people do want to see it, they're settling, because they'd rather be seeing some other shit. They'd rather see someone far better than you. So that's why shindies, to me, it should die. I would love for shindies to die. I would love there to be less wrestling companies. I know people get all hurt about that, but what about the money? Well, it's not a permanent job for everybody. It's not a fucking steady job for everybody. For most people, it's a fucking hobby that you should be doing on the weekends in between your regular fucking job. And that's reality. That's reality. There's some really, really good guys. And I mean, talent-wise, I'm not even saying that they're good people. There's some really, really talented wrestlers that belong on TV and should be making big money and this and that. But everybody else who will never reach that caliber, and I'm not saying everybody who's not on TV will never reach that caliber, but you know who the fuck I'm talking about, that can never be on television, that can never be in some form of high-level product. They don't fucking belong, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if I covered my pepper purchases this year. I'm not sure. He asked me about my pepper plants. So I got less this year, but I'm not sure. I don't remember my number. It's something like 19 or something. Usually I'm up around fucking 29 or something. Let me see. I thought I had... Okay, yeah, I got it here. So I got a 7-pot Slimer, 7-pot Mad Balls, Apocalypse, Bleeding Borg, Brain Strain Yellow, CP115. Those are really cool-looking plants because they got those, like, purplish leaves, like the purple Nagas. They didn't have the purple Nagas this year, so I got these because I really like the purple leaves. So it's, like, an insanely hot pepper, but it's really, really nice-looking plant overall. Death Spiral, Dragon's Breath, Flaming Flare, Hurt Berry, Brain Strain Chocolate, Vortex, and a Green Ghost. You know, those are all, that's all the hot shit I got. The name of these peppers just get worse and worse. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, every year it's just like, kill your fucking family pepper. And it's like, all right, I'll take one of those. You know? I mean, my family doesn't eat the pepper, so, like, for the most part. So I'm just saying, like, that's fucking, it's crazy. You just read down the list and, like, the type of shit they're up to is, it's a lot. But, yeah, so that's what I'm doing there, keeping it a little lighter. I'm doing so much with the rest of my yard. My stomach is really not handling all this extra super ridiculous hot shit the way that it had years ago. I had somewhat of like a stomach episode a couple years back, and it definitely limited the amount of like challenges and shit like that. Yeah, I did like that death nut challenge years ago, and yeah, by the way, I beat that, sort of. I didn't do any of the, like, withholding from water or anything. I was drinking fucking water. But I ate all the motherfucking, the whole fucking thing. And Toby Klein, former Topic and current Deathmatch Hall of Famer, tapped out on that shit in my living room. So, look, that's the only victory I'm going to take over Toby, because Toby will eat fucking Carolina Reapers, the whole fucking pepper, and just chew it up and shit, and no-sell it. I can't do that. So I don't even know how I accomplished the nut thing that he didn't, but, yo, I'm going to take it. So, but, yeah, my tolerance has been a lot lower, I should say. But, anyway, I'm growing them anyway. John Wayne Murdoch, weighing 280, but his arm still looks smaller than mine. Yeah, he's got a weird fucking build. He's got this weird, skinny-armed, you know, fucking pregnant with twins fucking body, and it's fucking strange. I don't like it. Jeff Hardy arrests. Vince tries to get him help. He refused. Went to AEW after falling on his head multiple times. Now gets another DUI. Yeah, you know, he's another mess. He's another one of these guys that just can't get out of his own way. He can't stay committed to the help long enough. He goes back to those comfort zones of whatever his addiction is. And, yeah, it's a shame. You know, Jeff Hardy has always been a very entertaining guy to me. You know, I've always been a big fan of, like, people taking those crazy-ass hype bumps and shit. Like, that's always a big pop for me, you know? Like, he's on top of the fucking WrestleMania sign and shit, and, you know, this fucking ladder is taller than every ladder we've ever seen. And here he goes off the fucking top of it and shit. And, you know, like, that shit jumps out to me, you know? And he was always very good at that. So, I've always been a fan. And, yeah, I guess, same deal, wish him the best, but how many fucking years can best still be on the table, you know? After a while, that's not an option anymore. So, you'd hope he's got all the money at his disposal to do better, but, yeah. Ian fucking Rotten, though. so, Ian... fuck people over again. I know this is going to shock people. I mean, I just saying that alone, that's got to be a shocking thing. Just trying to find the initial posts and whatnot. So Jake Chris posted the whole fucking thing on the... let me see. Did I find the fucking... Found the promo he cut. It's really weird, too, because, so Jake Chris, he cut, like, a wrestling promo. Like, he was under a bridge, and he's, like, talking with his hands and, like, in a voice, you know, like a wrestling promo. And then he burned the belt. He had two belts there, I guess. And he burned both of them and said he wants his money and it's been X amount of time and it's enough is enough. But, like, the whole fucking thing came off like a wrestling promo. But then, like, the post that he made came off legit. And then other people were piling on. He stole some guy's ring. He, you know, he fucked this one over and that one over. So, you know, all of that. And then, like, you know, Jake's, you know, siding with them and all that. So, like, that doesn't make any sense to be, like, a gimmick because, you know, for him to be doing that. And this is just my, like, initial, obviously, at this point. Things have escalated quite a bit. And it's clearly not a work, but... At first, my thought process was what I'm going through here, and it's like, well, he wouldn't, like, co-sign other people that are legitimately screwed by him if he's just cutting some promo to be, like, you know, the anti-boss. So that shit started to snowball real fast because then when Jake Crist said, I'm no longer working there, you owe me money, John Wayne Murdoch then said, I'm done with fucking Ian and this bullshit. I'm not working there. I'm pulling off a King of the Death. Then Danny D'Amato said, I stand with both of these guys, and I'm not going there either. So then he pulled off King of the Death. So then shit started going down where he lost the one, or he canceled the one show. It was, I think, this Saturday coming up or something. I don't even know when King of the Death was supposed to be, this month, next month. It's something like that. It was definitely this month or next month, I think, which comes into play a little bit with this. But, you know, King of the Death, he was taking fucking third row. He was taking $135 a ticket. So now, obviously, you know, two-day tournament, so you got both days. So you're talking $65? Like $65 a fucking go? I think that's about right, right? Right about. $65 a ticket for third row? Holy shit, bro. Like, and he sold the first three rows out. And the first row, I think, was like 180 or some stupid shit like this. And yeah. Just wild, and I don't know, man. Like, he's been, you know, more and more on the gouging of the price of his fucking tickets, and, you know, and now everything's fucking canceled. So then he's like, oh, so I just found out today I was being lied to the whole time, and my girlfriend, and we broke up again, by the way, my girlfriend... She told me that the whole roster was paid for, and turns out they weren't. So now nobody's paid, and we don't have any money, like any money. So, like, not only is the roster not paid, but all of that advance money that he took from fucking all the fans and everything, he just don't got it. Like, they just went out and spent all the fucking money and didn't pay the talent, clearly. Didn't fucking do anything, and then somehow don't have the fucking fans' money. So I don't know what the fuck went on there. It might maybe a drug habit or something. I don't know the motherfuckers like that, but, you know, a lot of the shit they're doing right now looks real druggy. So then he's like, yeah, like, she dropped it. And then she put the whole shit on there, too, saying, blame me, don't blame him. I thought I could fix things, and I couldn't, and blah, blah, blah. First off, let's get back to the part where Ian Rotten believed that more than 24 guys were paid for a two-day fucking tournament, prepaid for a two-day tournament, and he believed it. This is like if you and your wife were splitting the fucking mortgage. Every month you guys, you know, pull together, you know, whatever, maybe you have a joint account, maybe, you know, you transfer money, you know, once a month, whatever the fuck. You know, you go half on the mortgage, and then one fucking day, your wife just comes to you. Now, no jobs have changed, no finances have hit some kind, no one hit any windfalls or anything. She just comes to you one day and goes, hey, I paid the mortgage for the rest of the year. And it's like March. I paid the mortgage for the rest of the year. and you're like, all right, sounds great. Good news. You're not going to question that. You're not going to go back and check on that. You're not going to touch base with anybody. You're just going to go, sounds good. Like, you know goddamn well there's no finances for the statement you just okayed, that you just said, oh, okay. You know goddamn well that doesn't happen. Ian Ron has a rich history, and a poor history, of needing the house to do well in order to pay guys. Fucking people don't show up to his shows. He goes, we took a beating, guys. Dude, can I pay you next time? Can I get you later, kid? You know, all of this bullshit. And he has a long history of that. So suddenly, I'm supposed to believe that his girlfriend said, yo, everything's paid for, son. And he's like, oh, shit. Bro, who the fuck is believing that? Who the fuck is believing that? That's your whole sell? And then you got motherfuckers on screenshots, taking screenshots, that Misty is sending her pictures of, yo, I'm at the bank right now. And then they looked it up on Google Images, and it's the same fucking image on a Google image of standing in line at the bank. This is some crackhead shit, because you're only delaying the inevitable, because your whole fucking thing there is like, of course I'm going to pay you. You saw I was at the bank. Oh, their system was down when I got to the front, or, you know, oh, it was crazy. We had a power outage out here, and, oh, they told me to come back on Tuesday, and so now you bought yourself a fucking week or something. And then Ian, he's responding to motherfuckers who were like, yo, Ian, hey, Ian, like, for, like, fucking 2 weeks, and you can see all the unanswered messages, and then the 35th fucking yo, Ian, he's like, hey, what's up? And he's like, where's my fucking money? And he's like, oh, I totally thought you were paid already. So really, that's the reason you didn't answer the fucking 12 yo Ians over the past 2 weeks, is because you thought he was paid up. You weren't not answering any of his shit. You know, and again, like, I'm not trying to hear that I wasn't online for 2 weeks. It's in everybody's fucking phone, and I know he's legally blind, blah, 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 blah. No one could read him his fucking phone. His fat, stupid fucking son couldn't read his fucking phone. You know what I mean? Nobody in his fucking life could be like, yo, this guy's been hitting you up for 3 weeks. You just have no awareness of any of that shit. Really? Okay. So then, like, give me, like, a full fucking rundown on everything here. Like, so you're being deemed legally blind, so this helps your case, and I don't doubt that's the case, but what are we judging Callan on these days? What are we booking shows on? Is Misty fucking booking the shows? Is she the one scouting fucking talent for you? Is that what we're doing now? Is it no longer Ian Rotten's vision? Is it now, like, what Misty thinks would work cool? I mean, you can't have both things where you can't see anything, but also, I'm a great judge of talent. Like, what the fuck do you know? You can't see shit. Were you judged by the timing of the bumps that was a really well-structured sequence? Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, I'm so disabled, I can't live a normal life. Hey, let me fucking tell you, don't tell me how to run my company. I've been doing this for 30 years. Oh, fuck yourself. You know, and it's like, yeah, like, if you got beat by Ian Rotten recently, it's because you're a fucking fool. You're a stupid motherfucker, and you should have no money in your fucking pocket, ever. You should just be giving your fucking money away every time you get it, because that's what the fuck you just did with Ian. For what? Fucking King of the Deathmatch in 2022. That shit is still wowing you to that level that you fucking sent over $180 fucking dollars for your front row ticket. That shit's still blowing your fucking mind. You need better hobbies. Because if the pinnacle of your fucking hobby involves relying on Ian Rotten, you ain't worth shit to me. Because you're fucking stupid. And then they got these other companies who are like, yo, if you were beat by, I think, Dysfunction's company. He's like, if you were beat by Ian Rotten, I'll let you in for free, and we're going to have barbecues and shit. And it's just like, well, why? Like, what? I would want less of those people at my show because I know they're stupid. I want less stupid people around me. I mean, I guess in one fashion, you know that if you get those people in your building, they'll buy any fucking thing you sell them because they're still sending chunks of money to Ian Rotten in 2022. So you could probably fucking let them in for free and then, you know, pad your bank account with what they're going to do at your merch table. And they're going to buy into everything you do in the ring. So there's that, too. Because, again, they're fucking stupid. But, you know, and then, like, you know, you get your random people to pop up. Ian Rotten may have had some problems, but he's trying to recover, and he's still a person, and you go fuck yourself. This guy has the biggest fucking track record for screwing people historically and keeps running fucking shows, going away, coming back, going away, coming back, you know. Oh, I'm so poor, I'm going to have to close the doors. Oh, no, don't go, Ian. Okay, 3 months later, you wanted it, you got it. I'm coming back, and I'm going to da-da-da-da. And then people get all in, they get comfortable. Okay, we're running the biggest fucking show ever. And then he disappears. Oh, where's my money? Oh, dude, I gotta sell everything I have to make the money back. That, you know, here's that fucking funny shit. It's just like everybody takes money in advance, but, like, then they go spend it. Well, if I told you, hey, man, I'm just going to come to your show, but I'll pay you. Oh, actually, he was doing that, too, because he's a fucking idiot. But yeah, I'm going to come to your show, but I don't have the money tonight, so I'm going to pay you, like, maybe next show or maybe the show after. But next show when I show up, I'm not going to have the money for that one either. So I'm just going to keep a tab rolling, and then I'm just going to owe you. So, like, maybe by the biggest show of the year, I think, like, I might be getting, like, a raise. Maybe, like, October. So if I get a raise in October, man, I'll pay you back everything that I owe you, but I'm just going to keep attending your shows. And that shit sounds crazy, right? Like, well, why do people get to keep paying these shithead wrestlers money for merch that they never send them, for shows that never run? And then we're supposed to wait, and not... Don't get it fucked up. I'm saying weird, but, like, I didn't give these motherfuckers money. Like, I ain't stupid like these motherfuckers. But, yo, like, you're going to wait on your money? You didn't have to wait on the money, Ian. You needed that shit right up front. And knowing you're not reliable, what the fuck did you do with the money? Because you didn't fucking pay the wrestlers. There's no show. So you can't even talk about, oh, well, the venue cost and the renting the chairs and the this and the that or whatever the fuck you got to do because there ain't even a show. But the money's all gone. Now you got to sell all your things. I figure you would have sold all your shit already because all of that shit sounds like drug behavior. So if you're drugged the fuck out, you probably already sold all your shit. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I don't know. He's a habitual shithead. That guy is a problem to wrestling, always has been. Yeah, he has an eye for talent, but just because, you know, great wrestlers have passed through there. The thing is Ian will get guys on the early going. He'll have the eye for talent, and people keep doing him favors over the years because he gave him that platform early on. But over time, you'll learn that even with a discount, Ian can't pay the fucking bill. So even if he's getting brother prices from some guys and he's got some young fucking students that are just going to work for free and wind up being superstars later, even with that discount, he can't pay the bill. So that's just more Ian, more bullshit. And who learned from him? Who's his fucking, who's the promoter that learned the most from him is Matt fucking Tremont. Uncle Ian. All of you could go fuck yourselves. I have no respect for these motherfuckers who run shit like this, who treat people in this manner, you know? And then you're just all supposed to be like, they put themselves on this higher level, like, I'm the promoter, I'm the wrestler, you listen to what I say first off, motherfucker. You're either talking to children or mentally handicapped people, And that's the only way around it, because how could you talk to a grown fucking man in a way like, you just deal with whatever I give you? Just like, that's not grown man shit to be taking those type of fucking words. What kind of shit is that? Don't make any kind of motherfucking sense. But that's why
I think wrestling is for fucking retards.
You know, and that's not ever going to fucking change as far as I'm concerned. The Warriors, I think, are about to win the motherfucking the championship. Steph is just a fucking beast out there, and he didn't even have a good game last game. 0-for-9. I mean, the rest of his game was good, but 0-for-9 behind the three-point, that's fucking rare. So now, you know, going into that fucking game 6, they could close that shit out. They could absolutely close that shit out. I don't like any of that Boston area teams. The green shit bothers me. I don't like green. You know, I don't give a fuck about them. So I'm definitely rooting for the Warriors. Take that title back home to San Francisco. Show the football team that's what we need to do. And, you know, that's what it is. I had to get rid of this fucking nerd off my fucking page earlier, Ronnie something or other. Understand, like, there's a good amount of people on my page that I didn't even fucking add, and I tolerate them there just because they're there. But, you know, and they wanted to be my friend or whatever you want to call that Facebook thing. But the thing is, like, I don't even communicate with this guy. Maybe he's liked a couple pictures or some shit like this. We've never had, like, a dialogue, a back and forth or whatever. But I guess he runs some kind of podcast that starts with nerd something or other. Like, all you got to do is say, my podcast is called Nerds. Just stop right there, because we ain't got shit in common. I'm not a nerd. There's nothing about me that says nerd to me. Like, I don't identify with that shit at all. You know what I mean? We're different animals. So anyway, this clown comes on my fucking page when I said, hey, I'm going to do a podcast tomorrow. Which, by the way, I posted yesterday. Today he comments, will listen to my show tonight at 8 o'clock. And then post the link, and he goes, cheap plug. What the fuck is wrong with you? First off, I posted it last night, so now you're posting competing against my show because I just told you I'm doing this shit tomorrow night, which is now tonight, and then you're telling people on my fucking page, on my fucking post, I should listen to your bullshit fucking show that starts with the word fucking nerd. You're going to want to, yo, if you identify openly as a fucking nerd, I don't want any part of you in my life. Like, if you run a, let me make this even more fucking clear. If you do a podcast, especially a wrestling podcast, there's about a 95% chance I hate your fucking podcast. There's a huge chance if I listen to your podcast, I'm going to rip it the fuck apart. A couple years ago, I was pulling a couple just random podcasts. I would just go find wrestling podcasts and then just bury them on my show, because it's all just a bunch of people who sound like they should be broadcasting from the inside of a locker. You know what I mean? Like, these motherfuckers aren't built like me. They're not like just straight up honest, come from the fucking heart motherfuckers. Like, they're people that would love to impress wrestlers. They're people who would just do anything to be in the good graces of a wrestler, or, you know, or they try to be controversial for the sake of being controversial. And it's just, like I've always said, I'm a jerk off from Jersey, and I'm going to tell you every fucking thing I think about everything. And that's what you're going to get, genuine shit out of this show. I'm not here to kiss anybody's ass. I've buried people on one show, and then when they did better, I fucking gave them credit for doing better. So this isn't some, like, biased across the board kind of shit. I don't waver in my morals. If I think you're a scumbag of a person, that's pretty much who you're going to stay as far as I'm concerned. But shitty wrestlers have gotten better, and I've called them, you know, exactly that. Jordan Oliver, to me, was terrible. I thought he was fucking unwatchable. And now I think he's very good. So that's just an example. Jimmy Lloyd, I still think, is fucking terrible. Everything about that kid is fucking terrible. But when he had a good little stretch, he had a good run at Tournament of Death. When he won that Tournament of Death, I felt like they didn't have a lot of talent there. They didn't have a lot going on. It was a very, very low point for deathmatch wrestling, especially CZW. And I thought he stepped up and he did a great job. And I even sent him a message and hit him up and said, yeah, great job, dude. I thought you did it. You had a great fucking tournament. Credit is due. The thing that people don't realize when they think I shit on everything is not often is credit due. That's the difference with me is I just don't feel like motherfuckers are worthy of praise most of the time. You know, and I know that doesn't feel as good, but I don't give a fuck. I'm not here to make you feel good. That's not why you think I do a podcast so motherfuckers could feel good about what they tried to do. Like, if you didn't succeed in it, I mean, what the fuck do you want me to do? This isn't Participation Trophy Kick Radio. You know what I mean? This fuck all that bullshit. I ain't about it. But back to this fucking nerd. So he plugs this shit on my page and, like, you know, you don't want me to go back to find a nerd's fucking random-ass podcast and listen to it and picking it apart and destroying you, because I'll do that. Like that A. Jerkoff kid, he quit his fucking podcast when I was done with him. I think he's back to doing it now, but that motherfucker took a long-ass hiatus. That motherfucker straight up, he made announcements that the podcast is over and I'm all done and shit, and I don't know if I'll ever do it again and shit. I you know. I'm different than these motherfuckers, man. Don't think that we do wrestling podcasts so we'll all share together, bro. I ain't your friend. You know, there's a lot of these motherfuckers on Facebook and shit. I don't fucking know you for shit. And if you don't interact with me at all, like, don't fucking plug your shit on my shit. If we're friends and, you know, hey, man, you know, I support the shit out of everything Shaheen does, man. He could, yo, and even he would hit me up and be like, yo, can you help me promote this or can you share this for me or whatever? Because that's like what normal human beings do. They don't just show up in the comments on your shit and drop a link. You know what I mean? Fucking asshole. And it's just like, I just, if you do a wrestling podcast, if you do, you know, something in that realm, don't let me hear about it. Don't let me see it. Don't let me hear that you mentioned me on your fucking podcast. Don't put your shit on my wall, because if you get on my radar, I'm going to focus a little bit more on it, and it's not going to sound good to you at all. It's just not going to go well. And I will put myself up verbally up against just about fucking anybody. I don't believe that if we're getting into a battle of fucking words, that a lot of motherfuckers are gonna hang with me, especially motherfuckers in the podcast world, because half of those motherfuckers can't talk, form an opinion, say anything worth shit, be entertaining. I feel like that's the whole fucking thing. Imagine, you know, when I was a fucking kid and you had people on radio shows and this, and like, how would you get your own radio show? You know what I mean? Like, whoa, that's crazy. And a show where you just talk, you don't even play music, you just talk. You had to have some kind of fucking talent, no? And now that everybody has a podcast, you could just suck for 3 fucking hours every fucking night of the week if you want. You're like, oh, I'm doing Nerdcast again. No one gives a fuck about your Nerdcast. You know what I mean? Post that shit on your mother's ass where more people will see it. Don't put that shit on my wall. You know what I mean? So, I think that's pretty much all I got. Check out my man Sozio. He's over there interviewing shitheads. It's my guy, though. Even if he interviews dickheads for 14 episodes. I'm looking forward to the next season. You know what I mean? It's more or less like... you know, if your team sucks, you come out of the gates, you think, you know, you did well in the draft, and then, like, the guy blows his fucking ACL out, game two. There's guys, like, fucking catching DUIs and shit, fucking, your team hasn't won a game yet, and you're just like, there's always next season. That's how I felt when I saw David Starr's on for 3 episodes. I was like, well, there's always next season. But nah, man, he knows I love Sozio. He's a great dude. I'm trying to think of what else I got here. I don't think there's much else. I'm probably missing something because I just I go so long without doing the show, so when I finally get back to doing it, I'm like, I don't fucking... I started watching the GCW Cages Survival, and I had a little bit of things to say about it, but I only got through like two matches, so I'd rather just save the whole shit for whenever I finish it, rather than, you know, just tell you how I felt about the first two matches, you know. But I will tell you that Cole Roderick, although talented, looks like a deathmatch Mr. Bean. I'm just going to put it out there. That just before someone else, you know, grabs that shit. I don't know. Maybe it was said before. I don't know. But that was the first vibe I got, was he looks like a deathmatch Mr. Bean. What else? And I'm starting to watch a lot more UFC. I watched the UFC 275, and I'm not going to remember the fucking names of the people in the main event, but or any of the people for that matter, because again, I'm new to this shit. It was definitely one of the things that came from me getting the projector, because when I blast that fucking whatever 120-inch screen on the side of my house, I love watching fucking live events. So if I could watch like fucking, you know, the NBA playoffs. I hadn't watched the NBA in a couple years, really. And then I got the projector, and I've been watching the fucking playoffs since, you know. And I didn't watch the UFC outside, but I'm just saying that's part of the thing that I'm looking for, is to watch shit like that outside, and, you know, I could watch all sorts of, you know, action. You know, it's one of those things, too, that I got that whatever it's called, UFC Fight Pass or some shit. It's like an app. I got that so I can catch up on years of shit that I haven't watched. And I could sit outside and fucking watch this guy versus that guy on a fucking giant fucking screen. I think it's cool as shit. We used to fucking gather at my friend Danny's house because his father had a fucking 58-inch fucking... projected fucking screen, the flat panel that costs like $1,000 and weighs about 1,000 pounds and shit. He had, and if you sit on the side, you can't see a goddamn thing. He had one of those, and it was like the coolest shit that he had this big ass TV. And now that TV ain't shit compared to my TV in my room. That TV definitely ain't shit compared to the one in my living room. And now I got 120 inches on my fucking, the outside of my house. What? Like, this shit to me is really crazy. It's really surreal. But anyway, the UFC shit I've been getting more into because, you know, it's just another thing that I can watch. And it's fun to watch in these different, you know, situations, whether it be the living room, the outside, whatever. That main event was fucking crazy. It kept having these, like, I guess you'd call them, like, false finishes and shit because, you know, you would get the vibe like a motherfucker would get hit. And you'd be like, oh, shit. And the next thing you know, he's going out. They had, like, back and forth those moments over and over where it's like if he took one more shot, he was done. And then he kind of stalled and held out. And next thing you know, he had the other guy in that position where one more shot, he would have been done. And then he fucking stalled and held out and came back and started hitting this motherfucker. And it just kept going so back and forth with those fucking near end game fucking strikes and submissions and this, that. And it was fucking crazy. I'm not going to spoil the fight, so if you can go watch the main event of that shit, I don't think you'll be upset at all. Like, if you're any kind of fight fan, you know, even if you're just like a boxing fan, I think you would like that, the amount of, like, back and forth and drama that was in that fucking, that main event. But, yeah, check that shit out. Yeah, I think that's it. My man Jeremy hasn't been doing the podcast, so can't really plug his shit. But, you know, you can go back and check out all the archives. I got your 5 stars. He's got plenty. And a lot of these guys that he had as up-and-comers, they're just going to keep coming out of the woodwork as stars because that dude's got a good eye for talent. Not the way Ian does, where Ian sees the talent, uses them, and then later on robs them, but just where he admires the talent and talks to them on his podcast, you know. So you can go back and check that out. It's all on the up and up. You don't have to hear about them robbing anybody later or anything like that, which is always a plus. You know what I mean? You don't want to, you know, the backhanded compliment of like, oh, yeah, I found that guy and then robbed him. You know, like, what the fuck? But fucking Ian, fuck a, you know, half of these motherfuckers. Fuck them. Why?
I think wrestling is for fucking retards.
So, you know, that, I think that's about all I got. I'm going to leave that shit at that. I got to, you know, finish this week out, do my thing at work. And Saturday I'll be out there in the motherfucking, back in the obstacle course racing world, which is something that is it's going to be something. Because, you know, I haven't done this shit for a long time. I've trained a lot of things, but I know how this shit goes. Because I, year in, year out, I would get better. Actually, even through the season, I would get better. Like, oh, I had struggles with climbing a rope. And then later in that season, I was climbing ropes. And then the next year, I'd start out, and I was good because I remembered the shit that I learned from the past season. And I have some knowledge and some things that I know. I don't have to really figure obstacles out quite as much because even like some of those, like I know, but it's a matter of, you know, applying that strength and balance and weight distribution to some of these things to really do it well. And that's going to be something else that I haven't done in, you know, since 2019. So it's going to be a huge fucking challenge. I'm looking forward to it, but also, like I said, the nervousness is there. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be a fucking animal. I'm going to unleash every fucking thing I have on that course and just see what I can fucking do. Hopefully I come out of it without any injuries. And then just back to the motherfucking drawing board, back to the training, see what kind of shit I came up short on, whatever. I have two more races that I would like to do this year. I'm going to gauge everything as far as how I go forward based on this race. I feel like this is the biggest race that I would have. So even, you know, I mean, I get through this. I think it only kind of gets better. A Savage Race would be the next one that I would do, and that's in Pennsylvania in August. And that's another big one. When I did Savage Race, I only did that one once. But when I did that one, it impressed me. Its obstacles were really, really different. And it gave me, like, a way different. Like, so normally your legs are fucked. You know, you got a lot of shit that's sore and everything for sure, but something about Savage Race, that motherfucker had my arms dead. Like, my fucking forearms felt like I was going to snap tendons and shit, like, you know, and the bend of my elbow, like, all this shit felt, like, real fucked up. Like my legs feel on all the other races. So, I was impressed by how hard my fucking arms got worked throughout that shit, because I didn't really have that arm fatigue in any of the other races that I had in that one. And then maybe it was some fluke shit in my training going into that was not as strategic. I didn't remember doing anything too hard on arms, like, close to the race. But something about it, man, I really – and I liked that. And then I was like, fuck it. I want to do that shit again. So Savage Race would be the second, and then I would close out with doing Tough Mudder in the Poconos, which is a hot motherfucker, in September. Poconos gets fucking blazing. Everybody knows the Poconos for the fucking ski mountains and shit, but in the summertime, that motherfucker is a goddamn oven. And I did Super Spartan there probably three times, and that shit, oh my fucking God, that shit is hot. I feel like it's that much closer to the sun, and it just cooks you. But anyway, I'm looking forward to all of it. I'll talk to you motherfuckers later. I'm sure I missed all sorts of shit, so fill me in on what the fuck I lost, what I missed, and I'll try to come back at that shit around the next time, and I'll talk to you motherfuckers later.
Talk to y'all later. Have a nice night. Stay dry. It's raining again. Hard as rain. Makes my grass green. I won't complain about that. That's all I gotta say. I'm outta here.
I love all of y'all, and Shit.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
You've been in the gym, bro.
You know why?
DJ Hyde, fuck you.
You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me.
I'll listen to your podcast and I'll find everything out. You know what I mean?
You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy. So, what am I you?
Good. Mike Cheese tells me all the time to listen to what you gotta say because you be blazing people. And I'm like, well, I gotta hear it now.
You just know how to hide. Me, I don't have that car. Me, I always tell the truth. Even when I lie.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Jesus!
So say good night to the bad guy.
I'm gonna tell you something straight off the motherfucking press. I ain't coming for no fools.